بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. On Wednesdays we've been speaking about the events that have taken place in the month of Shawwal. And the month of Dhul Qa'dah actually just started yesterday, but we'll finish off today with the last event in this series. Previously we spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage to Aisha radhiyallahu anha. We spoke about the battle of Uhud. And then last week we spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealing with Banu Qaynuqa as well as the other two Jewish tribes, which were Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza. As we all know, that the conquest of Mecca took place in the month of Ramadan. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims conquered Mecca to Mukarrama, a nearby city of Taif, they actually got on alert, worried that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then attack or would then try to conquer the city of Taif. And this was for a couple of reasons. Number one is that Mecca and Taif, they were connected when it came to their beliefs. The idols of Taif, Lat, Uzza, Manath, they were host in Makkah al-Mukarrama. And when the Prophet ﷺ cleansed the Kaaba of the idols that were there, this included the idols that were from Taif. And as we know, the Prophet ﷺ had history in Taif, that previously the Quraysh of Makkah treated Rasulullah ﷺ illy, and now Rasulullah ﷺ has conquered them. And the people of Taif, they treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a similar manner, and they were worried that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims would attack the city of Taif next. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard about this news that the people of Taif are now gathering an army to go on the offensive and attack the Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered an army of 12,000 companions. Now, in Taif first, the Muslims had 12,000, and the people of Taif, they were of 30,000. And the numbers, of course, are not in the favor of the Muslims. But till this date, this was in the 8th year of Hijrah. This was the largest army that the Muslims had. Never before had the Muslims had such a large army. And from these 12,000 people that the Muslims had, many of them actually just accepted Islam in Fatah Makkah. So the people that came from Medina to Mecca, and then the people who accepted Islam in Mecca, they also joined on, and now the Muslims have 12,000 versus 30,000 of Taif. The Battle of Taif actually takes part in two different occasions. So there's actually two different battles. The first is the Battle of Hunain, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah Tawbah. That on the day of Hunain, you were astonished and you were excited about the number of people that you had. Why? Because, like we said, this was the largest Muslim army that the Muslims had till that time. And the Battle of Hunain actually took place outside of the city of Taif in a valley. And an ambush was set up for the Muslims that in the valley path towards the inn, the people of Hunain, the people of, so Hunain is mainly the outskirts, the surrounding people of Taif, and the people of Taif, they were called Thaqif. So there are two different tribes, the tribes of Hunain, Hawazin, and the tribes of Thaqif. So Hunain, the Battle of Hunain was mainly the Hawazin, people from the Hawazin, the surrounding tribes, and when it, later on, the second battle takes place, which is Taif, that the Battle of Thaqif. Now what the people of the Battle of Hunain, what they do is the valley path, they stand at the end of the valley path and the Muslims had to walk through. And as they went through the valley path, the ambush was set from on top of the mountains. The enemies, they showered the Muslims with arrows. And which in the beginning seemed like an easy win. Why? Because the numbers, even though the Muslims were outnumbered, the Muslims were a large number. It immediately turned to a defeat. Why? Because they weren't expecting this. They thought, we go through the valley path, we attack our enemy, خلاص, we win, done. But when they're ambushed, the Muslims begin to run away and disperse. And the Prophet ﷺ, he has Abbas ﷺ, who had just expressed his Islam out in the open, call out to the different tribes, and then these tribes, they stood firm, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent help in the form of the angels. And the battle of Hunayn, the Muslims were victorious. The remaining people from Hunayn, they then go to Taif, and they lock themselves within the city. So the city was fortified. Now if you look at Taif, even till this day, it's up in the mountains. You know, this past March, alhamdulillah, we had a chance to go to Taif, and because we're going in a bus, they didn't allow us to take the straight path. We had to go all the way around. Because the straight path, it was through the mountains, and the bus couldn't turn. And so if you go online and look at the pictures, it's actually a huge U-turn on the side of the mountain. So that's how the city is situated. And the city was such that they fortified and they locked themselves within their boundaries. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, they laid siege to the city of Taif for a total of 40 days. And different tactics were used here. You know, different means of war were used. The Prophet and the Muslims, they gathered ramming rods. They made ramming rods to try to break the doors of the forts. The people of Taif, they threw spears that were lit on fire. But after 40 days, the Prophet ﷺ, he took opinion of a person by the name Nawfal, and Nawfal said that to Rasulullah ﷺ, that the fox has ran away into its hole. The people of Taif, they've run away into their hole, and they won't attack you. If you let it be, they won't attack you. Leave them. After this, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, he made dua for the people of Taif, and he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, have them come towards Islam. And 2 years later, in the final year of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the 10th year of Hijrah, the people of Taif came, they sent a delegation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Madinah Munawwara, and they accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from here, after the victory of Taif, after laying siege and then leaving them and letting them be, he goes back and he distributes all of the spoils of war that the Muslims gain from the Battle of Hunayn. And this was a large victory, you know, a very huge amount of wealth that they earned. One of the very beautiful narrations that come from this incident is a lady comes and says to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name is Shayma. She says, I want to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companions asked her, who are you? Why should we let you meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she says that I am his sister. They said, what are you talking about? The Prophet ﷺ didn't have any sisters. Get out of here. And Rasulullah ﷺ let her in. And Rasulullah ﷺ talked to her and says, do you have any proof of this claim that you're my sister? And she says that when you were at Halima Sa'diyah's house, I was there as well. And the narration, the hadith says that she reminds the Prophet ﷺ, and you see, I appreciate a different angle of Rasulullah ﷺ as a young child. There's an Arabic saying, "As-sabiyu sabiyu law kana nabiyyu." A child is a child. They're going to play. They're going to run around. Why are you yelling? Why are you getting mad at them? Law kana nabiyyu, even if it's a prophet. That's how children are. And she shows the Prophet ﷺ her shoulder, and he says that when you were young, I was giving you a piggyback ride. I was carrying you on my shoulder, and you bit me here, on my shoulder. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave honor to Shayma. He laid out his sheet, and he had her sit there and gave her respect. And you know, there's a very unique incident where you see the Prophet ﷺ as a sibling. And I would look at this twofold. Number one, the respect that the Prophet ﷺ had for his sister. But at the end of the day, siblings will always fight. They will always take stabs at one another. Like even the Prophet ﷺ, I always tell my daughters that they should all go to my son Muhammad and get bitten on the shoulder to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. After this, the Prophet ﷺ, he goes back to Makkah to Mukarramah, and he performs his umrah. So when Rasulullah ﷺ was in Makkah, for Fatah Makkah, he didn't perform an umrah. But after the Battle of Taif, Rasulullah ﷺ then goes to Makkah to Mukarramah. He performs an umrah. And this is actually during this time, you know, just as a side note, Hazrat Aisha during this time wasn't able to perform her Umrah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells Aisha to stay back with Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr. And actually talking about Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr, in the battle of Taif, one of the few casualties that the Muslims had was Abdullah bin Abu Bakr, the other son of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. He was shot with an arrow, and later on during the khilafah of his father, he passed away from this wound. But going back to what we're initially talking about, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she wasn't able to perform her Umrah right away. She was in the state of Ihram, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her to go to Tan'im and put on the Ihram, and this is why the Masjid in Tan'im is called Masjid Aisha, because that's where Aisha radiallahu anha put on Ihram. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Medina to Munawwarah, and like we said before, the people of Taif, they followed 2 years later and they accepted Islam. So this was also in the month of Shawwal. Inshallah, hopefully when Sheikh Salah comes back, he could talk a bit more about the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. And of course, Dhul-Hijjah is around, just around the corner. And many of us have made the intention to go to Hajj. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that intention. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to learn from the lessons of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.